So I'll apologize if I stumble through a little bit. Amy cannot join us this evening. It is her birthday. So happy birthday, Amy. And so start the roll call. Director Hill? Here. Director Austin? Here. Director Nichols? Here.
Your role as a board member, it was not his at that time, to be involved in personnel matters. I've asked you before, and I'll ask you again, and I think I figured out a way that you could do this, and this would be to direct your staff to prepare a new newsletter. It's old. The news in the newsletter, the last newsletter is pretty stale. Refresh the community's mind. Refresh their memory on the things that your district does, and while you're at it, correct the record destroyed by Mary Lucy. This district has not polluted the ocean beyond repair. That was her words, and she said it more than once, and she put it in writing. And then again, I will ask that you consider filing civil action against John Wallace with what is going on right now with the IWMA. It is very important that you represent the ratepayers in protecting their resources and that is their funds. So I would ask you to consider going to closed session and discussing the Wallace matter and how you can recover something. Restitution should be paid. This district paid a lot, and you need to weigh your options on that matter. So I look forward to you one day following through with some of these suggestions, and we'll be back. Thanks.
Is there any other public comment?
Mike, Patricia Price, Aurora Grandy. My comments are very similar to Julie's. I wanted to urge the board to thoroughly assess the merit of pursuing civil action against John Wallace. You can discuss the case with the DA. If you don't, you're going to be making a decision in a vacuum without all the facts. The DA filed felony charges because there were solid grounds for the charges. they settled for no contest pleas because of the statute of limitations. This board was not reluctant to spend over $1,000 to investigate alleged misconduct of Jim Hill when there were no possible monetary benefits. The board should seriously consider the civil suit against John Wallace when there are potential monetary benefits of possibly millions of dollars. The board's fiduciary responsibility to protect the ratepayers and attempt to get restitution is right there. I'm not comfortable having Mrs. Nichols be a part of the decision process. Her husband was chair of the South Sand Board during the years that were being investigated and the years that the charges were filed. And while there may not be a conflict of interest, there is the appearance of a conflict of interest. Thank you.
Yes.
Hello, members of the board. Colleen Kubel, candidate for the City Council for Roy Grandy, and a ratepayer. I just wanted to follow up on both comments. I think that we are starting new with a new administrator. Transparency, doing the right thing above board. And I think that it would be something that the board would want to look at to clear up all that stuff in the past. Go after Wallace, try to gain some of that money. We wouldn't gain it all back, but we might gain quite a substantial amount that would help with our budget substantially. And that is something that would uplift this board out of the mire that it has been in for the last several years. And all that I'm asking for is that you communicate, talk about it, put it on the agenda, and let us be part of that communications. That's all that I'm asking. You wouldn't make this, any decision before you did that anyway. That's what's going on right now, public comment. So what is wrong with talking about it? Anything that we have going on should be talked about. If you don't want to do it, that's fine. But get it out in the open and let's talk about it. So I'm just urging the board to do that. And thank you very much.
Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. 5A, 5B, 5C, warrants, meeting minutes of August 1st, and the contract completion for the Headworks Improvement Project. Any discussion on?
I'd just like to verify that the Headworks is, in fact, operating as intended and that we're happy with the state of affairs there.
Yes, thank you, Jeremy. Jen with District Administrator. And, yes, the Headworks is up and operating now. We had some trouble with the bagging system that was part of the Duperon screens that were installed, and they were out a couple weeks ago and made some modifications to that. Now it's performing satisfactory. We do have our one-year warranty moving forward from here. And so this notice of completion is just to release the contractor from any work, but there's still a full one-year warranty starting from now for that new equipment.
I have no questions.
Okay. I have public comment on the consent agenda.
Julie Tacker, and I had a question about the Gil Trujillo invoice. Not that I have any question with his invoice, but I was looking for the Mayor Jones, and I haven't seen one of those in quite a while, so I'd like to know if they will also have a bill for June and kind of what that runs the total for June up to. The other question I had, I see that Mr. De Leon has a water operation certificate or license reimbursement, and I wondered what license that is and has he progressed beyond the operator one that I last remember him having.
Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, then can we get a motion on the consent agenda?
Would it be possible to have those questions responded to?
Do you respond to the De Leon? That's personnel.
So on the De Leon, I'm not prepared or even maybe privileged to talk about the reimbursement and Mr. De Leon's licensing. So I'd have to seek information from counsel before I gave an answer.
And as for the invoice for the other attorney, Kevin?
So I'm going to have to go off my recollection. I believe Jones Meyer was paid for June, and I believe Mr. Trujillo's bill was inadvertently sent to Mr. Karp for the June billing. And so Mr. Karp received that in July, and it was late making its way to the district, and that's why you're seeing it here on August 15th.
Thank you.
Okay.
Excuse me, we're up. Are you, anyone want to make a motion?
I move approval of the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes 3-0. Move on to item 6A, the district administrator and plant operators report.
Yes, thank you. Jeremy Jen, district administrator. So a couple updates. So the status of the headworks, that'll be coming off the report in future because it is now complete. The redundancy project, there's an item later this evening for project change request number 8, which would result in a full upgrade to our secondary clarifier, and I'll talk about that more later. So that's kind of the big item that's going on with the redundancy project right now, along with just getting all the current electrical specs into the design team so that they can carry on with the design. Financing state, I've been having meetings with Mike Nunley and Associates, who was hired to, or MKN and Associates, I should say, was hired to assist in the financial and grant applications for SRF and USDA. And Mr. Nunley and I will meet again tomorrow to continue that discussion on those applications and to keep pursuing those was my direction to him, because right now it's not a great prospect for SRF funding because it's all tapped out, but there is legislation that could refund SRF. And then there's potential for projects to fall out of SRF and money could be made available, which is a substantial interest rate savings to the redundancy project if we were to secure SRF funding. So we'll continue that effort. And then the primary digester rehab, that work is substantially complete, but there is a fair amount of punch list items after our final walkthrough. Where FRM will have to remobilize and come repair some coating that was damaged at some point in the process. So there is some touch-up work that they're thinking is going to take another 2 weeks before they're finished with the digester project. Raise manholes to grade. We should have quotes and information back next at the next meeting to move forward with raising the manholes on Valley Road. And the other good news is the SCADA system, which is the automation system at the plant. A number of years ago, the project was undertaken and not completed and was put on hold. We have been able to bring that online and working with a vendor. We now have some features of SCADA up and running at the plant, and it's already been huge at addressing the trend issues that we've had at the chlorine contact chamber where we've had those fecal strikes. So now we have 24/7 monitoring of what the chlorine load is to the chlorine contact chamber so we can make real specific changes rather than just daily grab samples and trying to make decisions off of a single point in time versus continuous. So Staff has done a great job at getting that dialed in now. And so I think our chemical use will ultimately be lower, and that we should see a substantial decrease, or if not elimination, in any fecal violations coming out of the chlorine contact chamber. Ms. Simpson is working on the final revisions to the PPM, so we are expecting to I've given her the date of October 3rd to bring that back to the board, and so that's my intent there. Please don't hold us to that date specifically. She was concerned when I put that down, but that's my target for her. And then Moss Levy is actively working on the audit, so that will be forthcoming for this. That's the 16-17 audit, and we'll roll right into the 17-18 audit upon completion of that. The brine program, a little bit of an update of that. So there, back in January, a standard operating procedure was prepared for the brine program. And I began reviewing that with our lab technician and our chief plant operator to get that dialed in. So a forthcoming presentation to the board on how we apply the rules as set forth in our permit is being memorialized in a standard operating procedure, so that we can be more transparent to the public and to the our members that actually take advantage of the brine disposal program on how we conduct our operations and what our expectations are. Central Coast Blue, I don't have an update on the MOA. I did make some comments on that and forwarded it back over to PISMO. And so when I hear back from them on the comments that I made, I will likely bring that to the board for further discussion. And then the plant operations report, all days during the reporting period, we were in compliance, and luckily there's not really been much going on at the plant. We've been conducting safety training yesterday. We did some confined space training because the operators are entering the digester now, so it was a good refresher because they've got some final walkthroughs to do in the digester, and that's considered a confined space, so they were training on that as a refresher. And that concludes my report.
Great, thank you very much. Any questions?
Not really. I appreciate continuing to monitor biological oxygen demand and TSS, fecal coliform, going forward, and hopefully the SCADA system will help us with that. So appreciate everybody paying attention to those trends.
And my only question is the motion sensor alarms. Is this a common occurrence where a bird flying by could set it off, or when the doors were locked, why would it go off in the office building?
So I don't have a direct. I have similar questions as you have, Barbara, but I was told that this has happened before. We do have an abundance of crows at the plant. They tend to like the waste that we generate, unfortunately. So they're all over, and so there is a pattern of them flying around, and so it is plausible that was the cause of it. But we haven't observed any damage or any other signs of intrusion.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay. No more. We'll open this to public comment on the District Administrator and Plant Operations Report.
Julie Tacker, and just for the record, Mr. De Leon's license is public record at the state, so I don't know why you couldn't share what his license status is today with us, but I can find out on my own. With regard to the redundancy project and the pursuit of state revolving funds and USDA funds, this report continues to say that the district may be eligible for grants and loans up to one-third the amount needed for the redundancy project through disadvantaged community program. I don't I've questioned this before. One third would imply that Oceano, the disadvantaged community that's the portion of your district, is one third of the project or one third of the district, and they're not. They're like 18%. So I think it's wishful thinking that you would be eligible for a third of your project to be funded through low-income funds, but I think it's misplaced. The other thing, as we all know, the state revolving fund loans are very much spoken for. I asked when we had previous administrator, can we get a bond analysis? What is the other funding that's available? What interest rate is it? If you can get it quicker, even at a higher rate, you may end up being less expensive for your ratepayers. But we haven't seen that. We haven't seen that before the board. And then my concern and we'll talk about this a little later, with the change orders and the project prices climbing, what's the likelihood that it would hold around $24.8 million, or call it $25 million? And when we're at 60% design, or when we go to bid, what is the point that the project becomes infeasible? Is it when the ratepayers stop approving 218s, or is it when it just doesn't make sense to continue to pour this tremendous amount of money into the project? So that's for a later day, but it's a question that needs to be considered, because, you know, we're at $25 million now and you're not even at 60% design.
Any other public comment? Seeing none, I'll bring it back. This is receive and file. So we'll move on to 6B, the redundancy project, Kennedy Jenks change request order 8.
Thank you. It's recommended that the Board of Directors authorize the District Administrator to execute Project Change Request 8 to the contract with Kennedy Jenks Consultants to increase the fund allocations for phases 3, 4, 6, and 7 by $155,140. As you likely recall, on August 1st, I brought this item forward and was given direction to take it back and renegotiate the terms of both the cost and the schedule, which I have done. And there is approximately $12,390 removed out of the design fee, and 4 weeks removed from the construction schedule. So we are now looking at a 6-week increase in the project delivery. And then an additional cost for design work of $155,140, and the scope of the work remains unchanged. So all of the infrastructure that was proposed previously during the last project change request remains in the current one as presented today. And with that, I would echo again that upon review with the design team and the operators, we believe this is a costly but very necessary change that we would like to see implemented at the plant. It only makes sense. It is required for redundancy, and it's connected to redundancy that we want to have those fully redundant systems and to be able to operate and pick and choose which systems we have online to be able to take down other systems and do maintenance on them as needed. And that concludes my report.
Okay, thank you. Jim?
I just wanted to thank the administrator, Jeremy, and the staff for following up on that and renegotiating with Kennedy Jenks to make sure that we're being reasonably charged and not that we are keeping an eye on, since they are the original designer of the plant. I thought that they should know some of the status of what's actually out there. And so I appreciate you following up on that very much.
I second that motion.
Okay. Is there any public comment?
Julie Tacker, and I'd actually like to know how that conversation went, because it just seems like they knew they should have known, and now you knew they should have known. Where were the meeting of the minds? And congratulations on ratcheting this down. But I've seen contractors that will just make it up later in another change order. So watch them closely henceforth, because there will be other change orders, and they'll just pad that difference back in later somewhere else. I think we've all seen it. And then I'm curious, because this seems to be a significant change in the scope of the work to rehab this clarifier. How does this change in scope of the project affect the permits that you have already or need to get? I don't know. So, thank you.
Any other public comment? Seeing none, we have a motion on this item.
Yes, I move that we authorize the district administrator to execute project change request 8 to the contract with Kennedy Jenks Consultants to increase the funding allocation for phases 3, 4, 6, and 7 by $155,140.
Second for purpose of discussion first. That being that I believe the some of it, what we're essentially doing is rehabilitating the existing clarifier to conform with our current license. So I think this enables us to actually conform with license requirements rather than change license requirements. So I am in support of this. Okay.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Okay. It carries 3-0. Thank you very much. Do we have any miscellaneous items?
No, there are no miscellaneous items.
Okay. Any board member communications?
Yes, I did attend the special meeting of the Integrated Waste Management Authority and noted that their administrator was put on paid administrative leave following a detailed report from Carl Knudsen, who was the same individual who investigated past management practices at our district. Following investigations, more than one, by the grand jury here, and resulted in criminal charges against John Wallace, some of which the statute of limitations ran on, but others, the plea was no contest, and the criminal sanctions were imposed. However, Dan Dow has indicated that the district is probably able to recover funds for our ratepayers, and I note just the similarities with IWMA. There's similarities and differences in that. In the IWMA case, it's alleged that numbers of large sums of money were spent on perhaps personal items on credit cards and so forth. I don't believe that Mr. Wallace ever engaged in anything of that nature. However, it's well documented in the Knudsen report and through the findings that were proven in court that there was, in fact, illegal activity engaged in by the prior administrator, and I would hope that our district would entertain trying to recover some of the funds that were involved there.
Okay.
No, I have nothing.
Okay, then on to closed session. I want to announce the closed session.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The board will hold a closed session to confer with legal counsel regarding anticipated litigation, initiation of litigation pursuant to subdivision D4 of section 54956.9, one potential case. Thank you.
Any public comment on closed session?
Julie Tacker and I watched that meeting, and Mayor Hill was speaking as a member of the community, not as a representative from this district or from the city of Arroyo Grande, just so you all know. The item tonight before you is initiation of litigation pursuant to the subdivision that the attorney just suggested. This was on your agenda, oh gosh, about 2 months ago, and because I don't know what it was about, but you guys had a something that came out later. It had to do with a trailer park or mobile home park, so I figured it out. So now that this item is back, I'm again throwing darts because I don't know what it's about. And what I want it to be about is the Wallace Civil matter. And I've been asking your board to consider taking civil action against Mr. Wallace for some time. Each time that I've mentioned it to you, I've asked you to become educated on the case. I don't think you can be fully educated on the case until you read what the district attorney presented in his case when they went to court in Santa Maria some months ago. And it just so happens that I have requested those documents, and the district attorney is willing to provide them. And as soon as they do, I will share them with you after I read them, because I'm a rabid reader. When I read the Knutson report, I could not put it down. I was flabbergasted by what I was reading. And I would ask you to reread that as some of the documentation that you need to proceed in pursuit of civil action. It was mentioned tonight that Ms. Nichols may have a conflict. I think you should explore that for your benefit, because I've been on a board and I was sued by a community group, sued as an individual for my actions on the board. And I don't know that that would ever come up from Mr. Nichols' work on the board at the time of the Wallace era, but I think for your benefit, you should explore whether or not you have a conflict.
I have already done that, thank you.
Okay. Maybe I should look for that documentation. And I wonder about Mr. Trujillo and his work as the city attorney in Santa Maria, and the contracts that the city of Santa Maria has gone into with the Wallace Group, and maybe there's a conflict there. I'd like that explored. But I hope tonight that you do consider civil action against John Wallace and Associates.
Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none. We will adjourn to closed session. Thank you.